right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that inspires possibilities in your life, whatever they are. It could be a healing crisis. It could be a business opportunity. It could be finding the love of your life or just waking up one day and just feeling good about life, just kind of feeling like there's a breakthrough. But sometimes we do have healing crises, and there's somebody that I invited to be our guest today. Her name is Angelica Singh. She's come up with what's called the embodiment process. She's the founder and creator of a holistic approach to healing. Her work was detailed as a feature article in O, the Oprah magazine. She's been a frequent guest on various other shows besides mine, Dare to Dream. She's been on the James Von Prague show. She's been on the Autoimmune Hour. And I'm sure that you're going to find her very interesting. And I want to read you something that I read that kind of struck me. And this is featured in the Oprah magazine. Delving into my ancestry, let me face my own turmoil and finally see myself clearly. I am my grandmother's sadness and my mother's fear, but I am also my grandmother's strength and my mother's resilience. When I read that quote, that really moved me, because I think that when we look at our ancestry, it's very revealing. And Angelica, I know you've had quite an ancestry, and I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And I know, as I just say your name, I know we talked off air, and I apologize, it's Angelica, right?
Yeah, you got it.
I got that right. Okay.
Yeah, you did.
Angelica. Yeah. So tell me about that quote. That where did that come from? And
well, I was working with a woman.
Delving into my ancestry.
Yeah, I was working with a woman who, as she details in the article, that she had quite bad anxiety. And I think it became clear to her after even just one session. I really help people, facilitate them to be able to differentiate their pasts from their present and not have to carry on something that we might call epigenetic trauma or ancestral patterning that we really carry forward if it doesn't get cleared or included. Or sometimes people talk about it in terms of family secrets or people that may have acted in ways that were not necessarily in alignment with the ways that their parents wanted them to act. And so all of these things she was carrying, she had actually come from a family that had been through war and had been through a lot of difficulty, a lot of oppression of women particularly, and that was her culture. She says all this and that, and she was able to really identify that she didn't have to carry those things anymore. And I really work, the embodiment process is really about working through the body, because a lot of this is showing up somatically. So we can get symptoms, even some versions of dis-ease, including autoimmune issues, can be related to patterning that we were really literally born into, that is there before we get there.
And you help people kind of get rid of that, rid of this pattern, or at least become aware of it, which is a first step, right, to getting rid of it.
Absolutely, and I would say it's about including and bringing it to light, and then a lot of it completes itself. in a way, because everybody wants to be included in a way. All of the patterning needs to be included, just like survival strategies need to be included. You know, when we have a pattern, it's not that we're doing that because we're stupid. It's that we're doing it because it worked at some point during our lives. And it served us, and it doesn't serve as an adult. It often feels like, you know this, Mark, you know, where it becomes a more limiting version of life, and we cannot believe in ourselves. We can't have more possibilities because of that pattern. But at one time, it served us.
Right. Do you think we ever get totally rid of it?
I don't, you know, I wouldn't say that we get rid of. I would say that we get more enlightenment, more consciousness, and it's kind of like seeing the pothole in the road, and we see it and we can go around it. I actually think that when we say the pattern serves us, it truly did serve us, and it does open us to different layers of different neural pathways, different consciousness, and I actually think that all of it makes us stronger. It's the dominion of choice and what patterns and perceptions we choose to constellate that gives us power.
So what about your work at UCLA? I know you've lectured there. Was this about the same kind of topic, or was there something else?
Well, I worked at their birthing center, actually, and I taught a class in bonding and attunement. So another version of dealing with epigenetic trauma or trauma resolution is to start from the beginning, start from the embryo, start from the conception and the gestation, and help new moms and dads with the pregnancy and with their coming into being with their new little one, is creating that level of attunement that creates a secure bond. Because if that attunement is there, then the nervous system and the neural pathways grow with resiliency. So we can't control the karma of a person, but what we can do is give them the best optimal metabolic field to create possibilities and resiliency for whatever it is the cards they're dealt, whatever it is their circumstances are, because we can't know that, nor can we control it. That's life. So that was a class really about getting into the nitty-gritty of the somatics, meaning the nervous system, really teaching people how to slow down and move at a regulated pace so the stress of the mother and the family doesn't impact the infant or the prenate in a way where they're already set up in survival strategies, because the field is moving too quickly for them, meaning the family field. The mom and the dad, they're not connecting. The mom is maybe stressed and needing to learn how to regulate and slow down herself.
Mm-hmm. And also that you wrote the Living with Intention booklet. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. The Intention workbook and is really about giving people a pathway. So working with intention, I always start with intention because we are literally pure intention. So before you and I came into being, we were basically a gesture of divinity. We are something coming that's unmanifest, not physical yet. So connecting back with the origins of intention really connects us to the blueprint of who we are, meaning unencumbered by the imprints, and we can create intention for any area of our lives, something that we're working with. And it's very different than goals, which I'm sure, I know you coach people, so I'm sure you work with the difference between goals and intentions. And I like to think of intentions as like the roots and the goals as like the fruit, the byproduct that comes off. Because sometimes we're able... Go ahead.
I made that distinction between goals and intentions, and the distinction I made, it's interesting, your thoughts on it. Mine was, I looked at it as a perfect marriage. The intentions was the feminine, and the goals was the masculine. What I came up with.
Yeah, no, I think that's very true. Yeah, the goals are very linear. They're very structure-based. They're represented in physical form. And, you know, the intentions are really the essence of where is it coming from. Where is the energy actually living in us? Where do we see our purity and our pure potential?
So let's what I think might be helpful is let's take an example of a situation that in your work comes up. Say, would it be around relationships? Is that like something that you help people with to get clarity on that? Or is there another topic? I'd like to kind of explore a topic and see exactly what your approach is. And perhaps, you know, our listener can get some good takeaways.
Sure, sure. So maybe relationships are good. Maybe there's a way in which, let's say you're in a relationship and you tend to have a pattern of being with women that are cold, right?
Okay.
Or unapproving, or you have a pattern of choosing men who are not emotionally available.
Okay.
So typically what we would look at that in through the lens of like, okay, so where am I not available to myself, right? Where am I cold to myself? And so from an intention standpoint, we might break it down a little further and realize that in our parental relationships, our father or mother wasn't available to us, or if they didn't like how we were, they became cold with us, or our father wasn't emotionally available. So as the client or the person dealing with the pattern, I would say to myself, well, what's my intention with that? I would like to create more emotional availability to myself, with myself, and maybe there's something more specific. Maybe it's even more refined. Maybe it's I would like to have more tenderness towards myself. My intention would get to have the felt sense of tenderness, the felt sense of self-compassion, as opposed to the goal of wanting to get in a great relationship.
Right. So what you're saying is if we notice that we're attracting people that are not available for various reasons or not nurturing, then we need to look inside ourselves and look at where are we not nurturing to ourselves and how can we
nurture
ourselves more. Yeah.
Absolutely, and really appreciate that it's a learned imprint. It's something that we already had in us.
Mm-hmm. From our ancestry, would you say?
It could be. It could be handed down over many generations, or it could be just the way our mothers or our fathers treated us, and it could be from both parents. You know, it really depends. And I think when it starts to get stacked up, it's very disconcerting, and I think it can cause a lot of pain for someone.
I know that you talk about the embodiment process, and which I'd like you to tell us a little bit about. But I'm just wondering, it sounds like this could be part of that, what we're just talking about now. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So tell us about what the embodiment process is.
Well, it's a process of years of my own work and understanding that that being able to be in touch with yourself, I think we talk about self-compassion, we talk about empowerment in so many ways, and in my personal experience and working with people and doing my own inner exploration and work, I noticed I really had to resolve things from the inside out at a deeply cellular level because I had a lot of trauma, I had a lot of anxiety, I was not regulated. And I found that the more I slowed down and really practiced being present at a deep body level, I was able to let go of things and what I would call digest or metabolize some really big traumatic events, as well as thoughts that I would call thought forms, emotions that I would call imprints. And in doing that, I felt better physically. I was more regulated. My anxiety was gone. I felt grounded. And I felt like we have these beautiful vehicles of human bodies that are so incredibly intelligent. And sometimes we're driving them around like they're go-karts, and we really have a Ferrari. And we have to learn how to drive that Ferrari. We're so sensitive and capable in our nervous systems, and there are so many things that can happen to us in life, or even the way technology is today, that can dysregulate us and throw us off of that deep level of connection and attunement that we can have with ourselves that allows us to have more possibility. And I really found that when you could teach somebody that or facilitate them from a body place, it really opens your gifting. and it really opens your connection to Source and your empowerment, and that we are human beings and we deserve and need that privilege and access to have the Ferrari and not the go-kart.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about, so that's kind of the goal, right, is to,
yeah,
to give us what we deserve, to really look at our divine worth, divine value, divine,
yeah,
presence.
Yeah, because we all have gifts, right?
Yeah. And so how do you go about, so you work out of, you work out of L.A., is that right?
I do, and I do a lot of Skypes. I mean, I have clients all over the world, so I
so
work
in person. So you do these
person.
Sessions?
Uh-huh.
So when you do the Skype, so anybody can more or less contact you via Skype then?
Absolutely, and then I have an online class in the embodiment process. It's a foundational class in embodiment work in the embodiment process. It's beginning March of 2018, so anybody can sign up for that as well, because I recognize it's not everybody's going to be in LA. So
tell us how people can get a hold of you.
They can just go to my website. It's www.angelicasingh.com, and or you can just Google me and find the website that way, and all the information is on there. Yeah.
You want to spell that for us?
Sure. It's angelicasingh.com.
Good. And that's what, so people that want to get a hold of you, they can sign up for an online course, they can take the embodiment process and find out what other things you have to offer, what other,
yeah,
opportunities and possibilities. And what's interesting is so many people that I interview on this,
uh-huh,
show, and it's the Inspire Possibility Show, when we talk about possibilities, it almost seems that somebody that does this kind of work at some point in their life more or less hit bottom,
yeah,
or they struggled, they had a crisis, and I know that you're in that category too. You want to tell us about what was going on with you and how you had your awakening, how you kind of more or less got centered?
Sure.
Because it sounds like with everybody, it's almost like they have to go through that to come out on the other side. So,
yeah,
why don't you, and I think from your materials, you were in Bali when this happened?
I was. Yeah, I was living in Bali at the time. And, it started actually, I was traveling a lot, so it had started earlier when I was in Australia, but I had that particular moment when I had a near-death experience. I was in Bali. I was actually on a meditation retreat, and this was many years ago, and it was a real culminating moment. I felt quite young. I was 27 years old, and for me, that felt very young. I don't think I had a lot of emotional maturity in a lot of ways. I had a lot of trauma in my life. I wouldn't have called it that at the time, but I was pretty, what I would call, dysregulated. I had just started getting anxiety and panic attacks. I really didn't know what that was, but
mm-hmm,
until my mid-20s, which is horrifying, you know, when you don't feel particularly safe and then you're having your body erupt into these very intense experiences where your heart's racing and my blood pressure would go up and it was very uncomfortable. And I had gone to yoga school, and so I had had quite a bit of training already at some level.
Right.
And it was making it worse. So,
yeah.
Setting
How
in
was
stillness,
it making it worse?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, yoga and meditation, and I've read a lot of research on this recently, you know, people go to mindfulness and, you know, as a way of slowing down, as a way of getting more connected. But for some people, it can really bring up a lot of psychic pain because it's just underneath the surface. And
uh-huh,
it can, if it's not done with a good guidance or facilitation, we really are tapping into our subconscious. And that material can erupt, and it can really feel overwhelming to a person. So I was going through a massive overhaul in that arena where my psyche basically erupted in my body, and so all of my unconscious material was coming up. And some people might call it like a spiritual emergency or a kundalini rising. And those are, you know, sort of big generic terms that we can use. And I've worked with a lot of people, helping people, and also because I went through it. And it's different for everybody. Mine was quite intense, and I went into cardiac arrest. And
wow.
it was very scary. And, you know, I saw myself
floating
above. And
this was over in Bali? You had medical care there and everything?
No, because I was able to come back in. And so I did get some medical attention, but there wasn't really anything anyone could do for me other than give me an EKG and tell me, yes, your heart rate is fast, your blood pressure is fast, but take this medication. You don't have I didn't have a congenital problem.
Right.
So it was, you know, one of those sort of confusing diagnosis and assessments, but I definitely felt horrible and was very frightened. And over time, I was able to, what I would call, stitch it back together and come back into a whole way of being and understanding. And while I wouldn't have wished it upon anybody, what happened to me, I don't look back on that time now with any regret or sadness, because it really made me who I was and who I am today. And it was very difficult. And at the same time, you know, now I don't have any of that kind of anxiety. And it was an opening, and it was a painful one. So I think it really gave me a look at, like, even when people go through illness, I always see the health in them, and the illness is really a quickening of consciousness. It really is a way for somebody to deepen into the relationship they need to have with themselves and with the universe.
Mm-hmm. So you keep coming back. One thing I also noticed is that in the information that I received from you, you talk a lot about being imprisoned, and that's something I've noticed, that I noticed a few times, and so I assume you're talking about how we can, our thinking can kind of, this loop, this negative thinking that we have can kind of keep us stuck and imprisoned and kind of imprisoned in this life of suffering. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of people suffer from negative thoughts, that they are compressing their possibilities, right? They can't get out into a more limitless field because the thought forms have taken on so much. They've taken on so much identification.
So I'd like to ask my guests a couple of questions.
Sure.
What right now is your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge, personally or professionally?
Both.
Well, I can say personally, it's a good challenge. I'm, you know, 7.5 months pregnant, so walking around is my personal challenge right now.
Yeah.
Having an
walking
extra 30 pounds in the front of my body. So getting out of bed in a way. But to be perfectly honest, that is probably my biggest challenge right now, just transitioning into a body that's very different. Professionally, I mean, I guess it would be more, I would say this is more of a global, a spiritual question, which is, or answer, but I find that we live in a time where I'm really challenged by wanting and to see and to participate as much as I possibly can in reminding people of their goodness. I find that to be the thing that we have lost sight of, and it makes me, I feel it very deeply when I look at the news and I see what's going on, and I feel that when I see the level of greed and lack of humanity and lack of prioritizing our cooperation and our sustainability and how we help young people and healthcare and all of these things, I think that's my biggest challenge, is wanting to participate in amplifying our goodness and our cooperation.
So to remind people, so your message to people would be right now, if I said to you, what is your message to the listeners today? What would be your personal message to them?
That we all have tremendous ability to empower ourselves, and when we operate from that place of goodness, we really do expand possibilities for everybody, and we make a society, and we are individuals that are sustainable. And really, when you do your own work, that spreads, and that we can, you know, because I think it's very disempowering for, I think, a lot of people to live in a world where there's a lot of isolation but so much more connectivity. So I feel like being able to do one's own work on themselves and to resolve whatever patterns or limitations they have is one of the greatest things they can do for society, because it makes us more sustainable as individuals and then as a group.
Mm-hmm. And what right now, what inspires you?
What inspires me? I would say right now, stepping into motherhood inspires me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Big
yeah.
step. Big
yeah.
step.
Yeah, and sustaining optimism and possibility for
mm-hmm.
him
mm-hmm.
and giving him goodness, you know, reflecting back
right.
who he is, you know, being able to give that to him, give him more than what my mom could give me, and you know, to carry that for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's interesting how optimism, you know, in this world is a challenge. It's a challenge. I interviewed
yeah.
for my show the president of the University of Maryland.
Yeah.
And I asked him what his biggest challenge was, and he
yeah.
said it was maintaining a tone of optimism. He's been there for
yeah.
almost 30 years, and it was that's really what he felt was necessary, that we had to be these voices of inspiration and hope.
Yeah, and hopefully live
these,
our lives
these,
that
the,
way.
Yeah, these visionaries of possibility, of hope, and because there's so many other negative forces. So I want to thank you for being our guest on the Inspire
thank
Possibility
you.
Show, and for your commitment for doing this work. And I wish you all the best in entering this journey of motherhood and parenthood.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
I've,
and thanks.
Yeah. I've been a parent for a long time, and it's definitely one of the most difficult things I've ever done and the most rewarding thing I've ever done. It's all of it. Kind of what you talked about with, you know, with it, that quote as we started the show about, you know, with our parents that, you know, the strength and the sadness and all of it is all
mm-hmm.
there. And that's what we bring to our children is all of us, our goodness, our weaknesses, our vulnerability, our joy, our sadness, and hopefully our hope for a better world. So mm-hmm. thanks again, Angelica.
Yes, thank
for,
you. Thank you so much.
Yes. For being our guest.
Thank you. So good
and
to talk to you.
Thank you. And to our listeners out there, every week we have various individuals. Some of them are, many of them, most of them are amazing. And in the meantime, until next week, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.